This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Inflation eases, sending U.S. stocks soaring. But turmoil at crypto exchange FTX continues to roil crypto markets.
This is almost like the cherry on top of what has just been an unbelievable year. It has been awful for crypto. And now you have this. FTX was one of the biggest exchanges in the sector. And now it is on the precipice of collapse.
Plus, why some of the people flying away from Twitter are landing at Mastodon. It's Thursday, November 10th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Inflation eased in October, falling back from a four-decade high. The Labor Department said the Consumer Price Index rose 7.7% in October from the same month a year ago. It was the smallest 12-month increase since January and down from 9.1% in June. Core CPI, which excludes volatile categories like energy and food, also ticked down. Markets cheered the news, with U.S. stocks staging their biggest rally since 2020. The Dow rose 1,200 points, or 3.7%. The Nasdaq surged more than 7%, and the S&P 500 was up 5.5%. Our economics reporter Gwen Gilford says there was a lot for investors to like in the latest inflation report.
It fuels the hope that the peak is behind us, it's well behind us, and that the Fed will be able to slow the pace of rate hikes. That's good because, you know, if the Fed doesn't have to tighten as much as we thought it would to control inflation, the economy will weaken less and stocks will have to fall less, or maybe they'll do better than expected.
The inflation report is likely to keep the Federal Reserve on track to raise interest rates a half percentage point at its final meeting of the year in December. The Fed has approved four consecutive rate increases of 0.75 percentage point this year. Housing costs have been one of the major drivers of inflationary pressure, but there are signs that, too, may be easing. The median sales price of an existing single-family home last quarter was up 8.6% from a year earlier to $398,500, according to the National Association of Realtors. That marks a slowdown from the second quarter's 14.2% pace. But housing affordability is still near its lowest level in decades. Rising mortgage rates have increased borrowing costs and pushed many buyers out of the market. Home sales have fallen for 8 straight months. We report exclusively that Amazon chief executive Andy Jassy is leading a cost-cutting review at the company. According to people familiar with the matter, Jassy plans to cut back on businesses it sees as unprofitable. That includes its Alexa business unit, which has been a major recipient of investment capital. Amazon has told employees in its unprofitable divisions to look elsewhere in the company for jobs because their teams were being suspended or closed. The e-commerce giant has been experiencing a slowdown in its core retail business while it tries to manage costs from its logistics network. Juul has secured financing from some of its early investors to avoid bankruptcy. That's according to company officials, who say the company is also planning to lay off about 400 people, or 30% of its global staff, as part of its cost-cutting program. The company had been preparing for a possible Chapter 11 filing amid a dispute with federal regulators over whether its products can remain on the U.S. market. Coming up, what's going on at the cryptocurrency exchange FTX? And what does it mean for the broader market? We'll have some answers after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
It's been a tumultuous week for cryptocurrency. Crypto exchange FTX is in dire straits after a deal with its rival Binance fell through. The deal's implosion this week has raised new questions about FTX's business. People familiar with the matter say it's now facing a financial shortfall of up to $8 billion. There's also concern the damage could spread. Already this week, the price of Bitcoin, the biggest cryptocurrency, has slumped to around its lowest level in 2 years. Joining me now with the latest and what it means for crypto markets is our cryptocurrency reporter, Paul Vigna. Hi, Paul. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Anne-Marie. Thanks for having me.
So, Paul, a lot to get up to speed on here. We learned Wednesday that just a few days after it made an offer to acquire FTX, Binance was walking away from the deal. What have we learned now about what happened there and why Binance reversed course?
Well, broadly, what happened was Binance offered to make this bailout deal, this, you know, basically a savior-type acquisition, got a look at FTX's books, and said that literally the quote was, "The issues are beyond our control or ability to help." That's what Binance said in a statement. And they walked away from any potential deal.
So what do we know so far about what happened at FTX and the challenges it's facing right now?
Broadly speaking, very, very broadly speaking, it is obvious at this point that FTX, the exchange founded by Sam Bankman-Fried, was not being run with the sort of due diligence and the cost controls and the risk management that you would want. What we have found out, according to people familiar with the matter, is that FTX had about $16 billion in customer assets, and it had lent about $10 billion of that to Alameda Research, to the market-making trading firm that Sam Bankman-Fried also owns. So these two companies ostensibly were separate, but Sam owned both of them. And without anyone's knowledge, he was lending money from one to the other. That is a really big problem.
FTX is the subject of investigations by the Securities and Exchange Commission, which we learned this week has broadened its probe, as well as the Department of Justice. What are their concerns right now about the company? What specifically are they looking into?
The Securities and Exchange Commission, their enforcement actions are always civil actions. So ostensibly, what they're really looking at is, you know, if FTX was trading unlicensed securities, were they committing any kind of securities fraud? And those are always going to be civil actions. The Department of Justice, they're looking at criminal statutes. Was FTX committing criminal fraud? Were they misrepresenting what they were doing? Were they telling their customers, clients, and partners that they were doing one thing with this money and doing something else? The complicating factor of this is going to be that ostensibly FTX is not a U.S.-based operation. They have a U.S.-based subsidiary called FTX U.S., which, again, all of this is owned by Sam Bankman-Fried. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects any kind of enforcement action. Did these exchanges, FTX U.S. obviously, but also FTX International, have U.S. customers? Probably. So that will give the Department of Justice certainly some standing to go after them. But all these sort of legal avenues that government regulators and law enforcement are going to pursue, these are going to be long, drawn out, complicated cases, without a doubt.
What, if anything, are we hearing from FTX and its founder at this point?
Well, I don't know exactly where Sam is in the world right now. The company headquarters were in the Bahamas, so ostensibly he's probably there. He's been tweeting. He's been writing letters. We know that they are trying to orchestrate a bailout, private bailout. You know, they're never going to get any government to come in and give them money, but they're trying to orchestrate a private bailout between some crypto companies. Hopefully they can raise several billion dollars and stave off any kind of collapse of the company. That's what they're trying to do. That's what they have publicly stated. God only knows if it'll really happen, though.
Paul, we've seen FTX's challenges and uncertainty over that potential deal with Binance really shake up crypto markets this week. How is this playing out broadly in the industry and for investors?
Well, look, this is coming after an entire year of a significant sell-off in prices and the collapse of several other high-profile big companies in the sector. So this is almost like the cherry on top of what has just been an unbelievable year. And ironically enough, It was a year ago this week that Bitcoin set its all-time high. It has been awful for crypto. And now you have this. FTX was one of the biggest exchanges in the sector. And now it is on the precipice of collapse. So it has hurt prices, certainly. Prices are down. But the larger issue is really what it's going to do to sentiment, what it is going to do to how people view this sector, both people inside of it and people outside of it. If you were not in crypto before, are you really going to go anywhere near it now? That's going to be a real issue. Look, I've been talking to people all week, and the kinds of emotions I'm hearing out of people are really very similar to the kinds of emotions I was hearing out of people in 2008 during the financial crisis. This is a major, major problem for them.
What new questions, Paul, is this raising concerning regulation of crypto markets, something that we know SEC Chair Gary Gensler is pushing for?
The great irony of this whole story, really, is that Sam Bankman-Fried had emerged as a very pro-regulation guy. He was in D.C. lobbying. He testified before Congress. He had come out just a couple of weeks ago with his own suggestions for what regulations should look like. He was largely seen as somebody who had the ear of lawmakers and regulators. And it's just really strange that behind the scenes, his company was, you look at it now, it's almost the poster child of why you need regulations. And I'm not trying to talk them up, but you know, you look at a company like Coinbase, which is a publicly traded company, which is registered in the United States, which deals with a variety of regulators at the state and federal level. And they're not making money right now, but you know, none of their customers are worried that their money isn't there because that is a regulated institution that has to make a certain amount of disclosures. They have to tell you what they're doing with the money. FTX wasn't doing any of that.
And plenty more to come on this story. I've been speaking with our cryptocurrency reporter, Paul Vigna. Paul, thank you as always.
Yep, happy to help. Thanks.
And finally, Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter has some users questioning his changes and potential changes to the platform and looking for alternatives. One platform that's getting a lot of attention? Mastodon. Our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern explains why some people may prefer using Mastodon over giants like Facebook or Twitter.
What this is something called decentralized social media, or federated social media, as some are calling it. And so instead of one big tech giant like Meta with Facebook and Instagram, or Twitter with Elon Musk, this type of social network is distributed. The idea is that anyone can really run parts of this social network. And it's operated by different servers. And all of these different servers make up the bigger social network. And I know it's starting to sound confusing, but what's nice about this is that it isn't in the hands of one central person. And that means that users and the people who are running these servers can make up the rules and they make sure things are running smoothly.
You can hear more about Mastodon and how it handles issues like content moderation on today's episode of our Tech News Briefing podcast. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.